My name is Seiju Hosari.
How old are you?
I became 36 years old this year.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, I'm half Japanese, half Chinese, and I lived most of my childhood and adolescent years in Japan, and until high school. And I came to America to study, and then I stayed here.
Why you choose America?
When I was in Japan, I know growing up, even at a young age, I knew something was missing in my life. And I lived there for 10 years with my parents and my brother and my sister. I went to school like everybody else, but I felt like I needed to look for something. I didn't know what that was. So I made the decision to leave home. And after I finished high school, I left for Europe. And I traveled for about 6 months. I hitchhiked and took the train. I was just wandering around looking for something, not knowing what it was. And during my travel, I met a lot of people. And I realized that I was very naive, very immature compared to many of the young people that I met in Europe. I met a lot of travelers and I realized everybody had very strong opinions about something. They had beliefs, whatever it was, and they were able to speak about what their belief was. And I really realized that I had really nothing to say, and I realized that I was very empty. I had really nothing. So I was looking for something. What could be my belief and what I could stand for. So that made me decide to come to America to study, because entering college in America is not too hard, and you could study different subjects quite freely compared to Japan. So that's why I chose to come to America. That was 1990.
Meaning, how old are you at this time?
I was 20. I was 19 in Europe. When I came to America, I was 20.
Meaning what? When which age you left Japan?
19. All my friends went to college in Japan, all my high school friends, but I couldn't go to college without knowing what I wanted to study. And in Japan, you have to decide what major you want to study before you decide to go to college. You have to choose it first. And for me, I couldn't do that because I really didn't know what I was interested in. And I felt like I needed to search first. So that's why I left the track from everybody else.
At this time, what is your belief? Do you have any belief at this time? Are you Buddhist? Are you atheist? What is it?
Okay, my mother was, she calls herself a Buddhist. She has an altar in the house. She prays every morning, every evening, a lot. I watched her mom do that. So in the morning and at night, I would put my hands together and say good night or good morning next to her, but that was it. But I didn't really know what the belief was. And I never thought about God or anything else. No, I never really thought about the life beyond. No.
Meaning at this time you consider yourself an atheist?
Okay, I heard that atheist is when you believe that there is no God. But I guess for me, I didn't believe that there was no God, but it just never occurred to me. I never thought about it, but I didn't deny. I didn't know.
Meaning you can consider yourself at this time ignorant?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely ignorant.
Okay, you came to America. After you came to America, tell us a little bit about your journey in America.
Okay, I went to college 4 years in Connecticut, State University of Connecticut. No, Southern Connecticut State University. And I studied different subjects. I took a liberal arts major, so which means you can take different classes and get a major. So I didn't really have anything specific that I was interested in, but I touched different subjects. I studied a little bit of philosophy, sociology, anthropology, and some religious courses. I was interested to see what was out there and what knowledge I could get. And I remember my senior year in college, I wrote a letter to my parents that I'm about to graduate. And I wrote to them that I learned a lot in college, but what I realized, what my final conclusion was, that despite all the knowledge that is out there, that we as human beings really don't know anything. We have very little facts. We have very little facts, and the fact that there is a huge unknown out there was more powerful to me. That to know that we really, all the adults, they didn't know the truth. There was a lot of question marks, and that was my discovery in college.
And what this lead you to?
So I finished college, but I was still searching. I really didn't find anything except the fact that we don't know. So I kept looking, I kept going on with my life. I moved to Miami. I got married with my so-called college sweetheart. We moved to Miami. We had a pretty good life there. It was hot and sunny, but I was still very, very empty. I didn't know why I was living. And even though we could have like fun moments, it was superficial, and deep down I knew that I didn't have it. I wasn't fulfilled. There was an emptiness in me. But I always, somehow, I had the feeling that I was going to find whatever that was missing. I felt like I'm going to take my time, but I'm going to keep moving forward until I find whatever that was. And I was comfortable. For some reason, I was comfortable that I was going to reach that. I don't know. I didn't know at the time what that was, but something that would make sense of everything to me. Because at the time, life didn't make sense to me. And marriage, I thought it was going to be a security for me, but it was not. It was a very insecure marriage for me. As I believe for most people, they have an insecure marriage. Because it's not based on what it should be. And then we moved back to New York. We moved to Connecticut, we moved to New York. I did move a lot. And I had different jobs. And, yes. And one day, okay, I landed. I always wanted to be a social worker. I don't know why, but I wanted to help people because I felt like me, I was a very fortunate person. I had a good family. I had no financial problems. I had no physical problems. I considered myself very lucky. I was thankful for that. And I knew that there were a lot of unfortunate people in the world, in society. So I wanted to know these people and to somehow know if I could help them. And that's how I landed a social worker job in New York. And there I saw people, humanity, with such darkness I never thought that I would know.
Like what?
Okay. People were very, very lonely people, and they were very broken people. And but also the other thing I found out was that even though they were broken and dark, they had some, they were somehow believers of God, some of them. And that shocked me because I was thinking, how can you be in such destitution? You have no family, nobody cares about you, and you still believe and thank God, and how could that be? That made me wonder. And that made me wonder.
But you said before you felt your marriage was insecure. Why?
Yes.
What
like,
does it mean?
Like everybody else, you think that once you have this husband, he will make you feel like everything is going to be okay. There's nothing to worry about. You are together. And I think we all have that something we want to lean on that would not fall down, that we could completely lean on and will not move. But I found out that that was not the case. My husband was not something for me to lean on. He was a person on his own. He had his, he was an individual, and I couldn't do that to him. It was wrong of me to do that, to of me to expect that. And so that's how I thought it was insecure, because I was trying to, I guess, use him for my security, my insecurity.
And what do you learn from that?
I learned that what I thought would be absolutely good for me turned out that it was not. So then I started looking again. At the time, I was thinking that my husband was everything. If I lost him, I thought it would be the end of the world and I would be in such darkness. But I had to accept the fact that he's not this something that I'm looking for, and he could go away at any time. He is not, what do you say? It was a commitment. Marriage was a commitment, but he was not committed to me. And I don't think, it's hard to explain.
Okay.
Yeah.
We talk about now the marriage.
Yes.
Okay. And the meaning of insecurity,
yeah,
in marriage.
Yeah.
But before that, you talk about New York job.
Yes.
Now, how we link between both of them. Now you are married.
Yes.
You have a job.
Yes.
You're insecure.
Yeah.
Okay, because you felt your husband is not faithful to you,
mm-hmm,
somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot lean on him.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see the different people.
Yes.
With all kind of problem.
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell us your journey internally.
Okay. So that was a wake-up call. I looked at myself. I had, if the people I work for, my clients, they were also mentally ill as well. If they looked at me, I looked like I had the perfect life. They look at my husband. He's good looking. He's, for the most part, he's very sweet. He's a very decent man. And I was young. I was healthy. I had a pretty good salary. But I wasn't having the perfect life. And on the other hand, when I looked at my clients, they looked more like independent to me. Like for me, I needed something. I needed somebody. But they were alone, very lonely. But so I thought maybe this thing about God has something to do with their independence.
Where are you now? Okay, you're stuck in life. You feel you have this lonely inside. You compare between your life and them. And you said you were not satisfied or you were not completely happy about your life.
At all.
At all. Mm-hmm. Why?
I really didn't know why, because I guess now when I look back, it was the connection with the Creator.
Mm.
Now that I look back, but at the time I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I thought they were crazy to think that there is God. I mean, I didn't deny, I didn't reject their thinking, but I didn't believe in God at the time. I thought it was just their saying. But I did envy them for, when they spoke about, mentioned God, they looked happy. And they had a bright face at the time. Yeah. And also, around this time is when I was starting to think about the injustices of the world, the oppression of the world, and all these questions in life, why life appears so unfair. And I was definitely searching for an answer. I was wondering if there could be happiness for everybody, if peace was possible. And interestingly, at this time, I was starting to know about the Arabic culture. I met an Egyptian man. He was selling coffee and donuts near my job. And also, he did mention God a lot. He says Allah, and he told me that in Arabic, Allah means God. The Christians say Allah. And the Arabic Jews say Allah as well. So it means God, the Creator. And the way he described God was with conviction. Like as if he's a real being. And that struck me. For example, he would say, okay, I will see you tomorrow, inshallah. And I didn't know what that meant, inshallah. And he told me it means if God wills. And he told me if God wills, we will see. But if he doesn't will, we will not see each other tomorrow. And I didn't understand it at the time. I was pretty offended in a way, because I thought, why does God have to do with us seeing each other tomorrow? So at the time, I didn't understand it. But his conviction did affect me, that he believed really strongly that, with no doubt, he knew there was a Creator. He knew this being. So that kind of made me interested about what is Islam. But I was going through different things, and at the time also I was interested in the Arabic music. There was a singer named Amr, I don't remember. But I was looking for some Arabic music tapes, and I went to an area in Brooklyn called Atlantic Avenue. I went to one bookstore and I asked for a music tape. And the shop owner said, we don't have this kind of thing, but we have this also, this Islamic books. And I said, oh, Islam, that's also the thing that the other Egyptian guy was talking about. So let me look at it. So that's how I looked into some of the Islamic books. Yes.
That's where you went from music.
Yes.
And you end up
with an Islamic books. Quran and everything,
mm-hmm.
Cassette and everything. And because for me it was just part of the Arabic culture that I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, let me look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
one thing that hit me was the people in the store were very friendly. There was the shop owner and there were some other customers. They seemed very helpful to me, and I never seen people like that before. They were generous. They seemed caring. And I feel like brother and sister. I mean, they were like, they looked like Arabs and with strange costumes, but I felt comfortable. So when I went back home, I remembered them. I remembered that they were good people. Yeah. And then, somehow I got a phone number from one lady. She was a Muslim. She called me one night. And she told me, I heard that you went to a bookstore and I have your phone number. Can I talk to you? So this lady started to talk to me about Islam. It was very unexpected because I wasn't really looking for Islam. I did buy the stuff, but I wasn't really taking it seriously. I just thought it was part of my collection of Arab cultures. And what she told me was like shocking to me, but it was a very natural story she was telling me. Practically, she was inviting me to Islam. And the first thing she told me was that there are many things in life that people like to recommend to each other. For example, a man, there's a good man for you, he might be good for you. Or there's a good restaurant, maybe you might like this place. Or like a movie, there's a movie out there, I liked it, try to go see it. But there's nothing in life where we can say 100% you will like it, it's good for you. But this lady told me strongly that Islam is 100% good for you. You must take it. So she started to tell me about it. And the first thing that clicked me was the word Islam. It means surrender, submission. Islam means submission of your will to God's will. And somehow that made sense to me, even though I didn't know God, but it made sense to me. No, before that, I'm sorry, she told me about God. She told me that there is a creator who created you. And somehow she made me think that I'm crazy not to believe that there is a creator. She told me, look around, all that you see, the perfection of the world, and even in your own self, your body. Look at your hand, how you move your hand. Look at how you breathe. This is not by coincidence, by accident. There could either be a creator or that everything was an accident. And to think that everything was an accident, you must be crazy. So I thought, yeah, okay, that's very, makes sense. So there is this being that we must submit ourselves to. And to me, it did make sense right away. And I accepted it. Yes.
Meaning you became a Muslim at this time?
I became a Muslim over the phone. I couldn't deny anything. I couldn't object to anything she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, what is Shahada? Is mm-hmm. the, what do you call Shahada in English? Announce
the commitment and the covenant.
Yes, covenant, yeah. Yes. At the time I acknowledged myself that I was the creation and my will has to be submitted to the will of the Creator because the earth was running by the Creator's will. And I realized that that's why it makes sense that nothing in life really goes the way we want it to be. And that's why I was fighting all this time to get what I wanted. But the lady told me, if I submitted that will to the Creator's will, you will be at peace because you will know that you're not the one who has the power.
And what happened after that?
After that, she told me, you have become a Muslim. And I was very scared from that pronounced that, because I said, I don't want to be Muslim. I don't want to be like those people out there. Because I've seen Muslims, they don't look good, they're kind of scary, they look weird, and they don't have good reputation, and I didn't want to be among them. So I had, even though the idea was great, me being part of that was a little bit, it took a little time, like maybe some weeks, yes, unfortunately. And what next? And then, okay, so my journey of Islam began, and I had to make many adjustments in life because I lived a life of trying to go my way according to my will, which never really worked. And now I acknowledge that there is the Creator, and He created me for a reason, which is to serve Him. And I am living my life for His sake. But that took a lot of time, because it does take adjustment. It's like being another creation. So that's my journey began.
But you said you announced it in the phone.
Yes.
But you did not really acknowledge it. How you came to the final conclusion you are a Muslim and you start your journey.
Okay. So I started studying about Islam little by little, and I was learning Arabic at the time, and one of my classmates was Japanese. Her name is Aisha, my good friend, good sister, and she took me to one sheikh who is a scholar. Yeah, he's a his name is Sheikh Ahmed Moid, who is the owner of this website. And I visited him with this sister, and he did take me step by step. He took me step by step over a long period of time, what it really means to be a Muslim. And that was different from what I was learning about Islam. To me, Islam was still like a nice ideology. It was perfect, it makes sense. But I guess I wasn't really applying it in my life. I was covering my head and things like that, but I wasn't really, but I could do more. And what the Sheikh taught me is that we seriously have to serve the Creator. And that made things easier for me, because it takes off all the extra things. I was trying to have still this and that at the same time. But I learned that we have to focus on being a good servant, to the Creator. We owe it to Him. And that kind of simplified many things for me. Yeah.
What major change of your life at this time?
Major change. Okay, I divorced my first husband. I realized that he had his life, his goal was not the same as mine. My goal, according to Islam, is in the hereafter. We know for a fact that there is no life in this life. We cannot get anything we want, and even if we did get what we wanted, it's not going to last, and nothing is going to last. So I turned my focus towards the hereafter. So then I couldn't live together, because we had completely different goals. So it was a friendly divorce. We were both happy about our ways. And I do hope that God, Allah, guides him as well. But I went my way.
Why you choose it this way?
It was rather easy, but because I put things in a scale. Everything I put it on the scale before I made the transition. For example, my clothing. I used to like to look nice, show off skins and legs and this and that. But God does not like that. So I said, even if I like it for a few moments, it's really not worth it. It doesn't last. It's just it's an illusion. It makes you feel good, like, momentarily, but it's really just it's a deception, I thought, and it wasn't worth it. So I started covering my body, which made me very happy. And a lot of things like that, as well as my husband too. I put him on the scale, and it really wasn't, it was not for me. Yeah, I had to do my things because I have to work for my own salvation, and that's a very serious job for me. So I really started moving on.
Meaning you sacrifice your marriage for your journey?
Yes, but it was a sacrifice, but easy.
Okay.
Yes.
Easy is from the Creator.
Yeah.
But it is a sacrifice.
Okay.
Because you choose.
Yes.
To leave this marriage.
Yes.
For
yes,
something
different. It was rather, now that I think about it, it was comfortable, so it was a sacrifice because living alone was not easy. I had to struggle for income and apartment and a lot of things, but it was still, I had to do it, and I really, from my heart, I wanted to do it what was right. So.
Because a lot of girls at this time,
yeah.
They cannot get it. They will never allow the marriage to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the attachment of a man.
Mm-hmm.
How you came about that?
Okay. Because I realized the attachment to the man, you cannot really attach yourself to a man. A man is going. He has his way. He's going to the grave by himself, and I'm going to the grave by myself. And I am my own being. And the only one I can attach myself to is the one who created me, who commands me, who gave me life, and who controls my destiny. And it was not the man. And he was just like me, a creation. And he was just as powerless as I was. So I couldn't, my husband, he used to be so big in my heart, but he looked very small to me, and I felt sorry for him, that he was not knowing the truth yet. So I had sympathy for him, but I was not attaching myself. It wasn't worth it.
Meaning you discover at this time,
yes.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Because before,
yes.
You said in the beginning,
yes.
You know, he was everything in your life.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Because I didn't know what it was that it was missing. But mm-hmm. Now I was fulfilled with a purpose to live. What the purpose is to serve the Creator, and I could live to the fullest by working.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what is major change in your heart, in your feeling, in your life, in the way you vision things after now your journey of Islam?
Okay.
Now you take care about the first obstacle, which is a husband.
Yes.
Or to believe is a man is the one.
Yes.
Now, next, what is the major things you considered having to your life?
Okay. The other adjustment that I had to make, which was not easy for me, was that I was an escapee. I used to escape from everything that was not working for me. If I didn't like something, I would just leave it and go. But I realized, I was taught that you can't do that anymore, because everything that I do, I will be questioned about it, and therefore I will be responsible for all my actions. So I had to take care of things and not just leave it as it was. I had to take care of it in a clean way. That way I wouldn't be in trouble later, which is the Day of Judgment. So that was another adjustment I had to make, was to really face myself, what my problems were, and I had to make improvements in myself, how to, yeah. And I learned to be more responsible, and I realized that was for my own good, and I worked for that. I worked on that.
Okay, now you start your journey, now you finish your marriage, now you try to, like, to care about your own personality and your own vision of life.
Yeah.
Now, are you happy at this time?
Yes, discovering Islam was actually freedom for me. And I guess also that was one of the things that I was looking for, was to be free. I was afraid of things, and yeah, I was a slave to many things, I guess. But discovering Islam was freedom to me, because I realized that my future was in my own hands. I could do good for myself by doing good, and if I did wrong, I would have to pay for that. But I was free in a sense that nobody had to, I couldn't blame anybody, actually. So, sorry.
Now, somebody might say, how you can be free and you have to have cover, you have to pray 5 times a day, you have all this regulation. How you call this freedom?
It's still freedom because it's my choice. I chose to cover because I know it's good for me in this life and in the hereafter. I'm so comfortable to walk in front of anybody, in front of construction workers sitting on the street or anybody. I'm very comfortable, and I feel I'm very happy in this clothing. I didn't think I would be, but yeah, I feel like I get more respect, actually. People treat me like a grandmother because I look like one. And freedom. And also praying, and everything really is for my own self, and I chose to do that. That's why I think I call it freedom. But before, my choices were based on many other things, like having to go to college or high school back in Japan was because everybody had to do it and I didn't really want to do it, but it was just the norm. Even though it didn't make sense to me, I had to do such things. Yeah. So as opposed to that, I regard this as really liberty.
First, we know we have liberty within.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, this liberty within, how it affect your life? How it affect your thinking? How it affect your goal in life? You said you was good-hearted and you want to do good and you want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how Islam fashion you and fashion your thinking from your era in your life?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Islam really did brought me happiness from within, to know that I am at peace with my Creator. I do not go against my Creator, the one who controls everything. And that gave me a lot of peace, because I used to think that things should be this way, that way. And when it didn't go the way I wanted, I would get very upset and feel rebellious. But now I know that the Creator has His will, and nobody can move that. So by surrendering myself, I found peace. So that's how, I mean, it's not like it's rosy now. It's still a big struggle to do that. You know, there are a lot of things that I don't like in life, but I know how to cope with it now. And that really helped me in such a way that I feel really Islam is the answer to everything, to everybody. And that's why I really want to share Islam to everybody, so that it would help everybody and help take care of everything. I used to care for the people who were oppressed, and I used to be angry about the oppressors, but they can be taken care of by Islam too, because Islam would warn the oppressors and they would have severe consequences, very severe consequences because of what they did. And the oppressed ones, they can have hope even though they're in such a situation, because they must know that the Creator, God, the Creator, He said He does not intend any injustice to any of His slaves. And also that this life is a test for everybody. This is not where you can have a happy life. This is not where you have parties, but this is a test. Every day is a test. And you have to go through that. Everybody has to go through that. But also at the same time, the comfort is that God, the Creator, said that He will not charge any soul except for within its capacity, meaning that you can handle it. You can handle what's coming. So you will not be afraid of your future. You will not feel insecure. You will not feel scared about what's going on, because you must know that God is taking care of everything. Allah is taking care of everything. And it's such comfort, and it's the truth. It really is the truth. So that's another great thing, that is the truth.
How do you know it's the truth?
This takes a knowledgeable person, but it's an undeniable truth. And help me out with this truth. For example, the Quran, it has the Creator's signatures everywhere. If you want to challenge it, you can challenge it, but you will not be able to overcome. God tells us to challenge it. He challenges us to challenge it, but we cannot win it. So try it.
Okay. Now, what is your goal in life?
My goal in life is to spread the truth. The truth is light, and we need light for direction, and to see things. And falsehood, which is prevailing at this time, is really darkness. We cannot see what's going on, and it's a terrible place to be, to be without light. And God, the Creator, says that I am the light of the heavens and the earth. So knowing God, the Creator, would give light.
And comfort.
And comfort.
And support.
And support. And everything you look for, you can get it, really.
But now you said before, when a person tried to assure you Islam, or invite you to Islam, he said, I do not want to be like these people.
Yes.
Now, what is the message now for non-Muslim? What is the message for the Muslim?
Okay. Unfortunately, the truth is that we Muslims are really in a mess. We cannot deny that. We are really in a mess because we're not taking Islam seriously. We're not trying to seek knowledge seriously. We are really, may Allah, God forgive us, we are acting like our own gods. We move according to our will, which is not what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to seek and find out what the Creator wants us to do and act accordingly. That way we will be okay. But we're not doing that right now. And unfortunately, me too, myself, too. Many times I don't act the way I'm supposed to. And we have to work on that. We have to work on that. So, to the non-Muslims, like everybody, all of us Muslims say now, don't look at us. But seek the truth. Don't let us make you confused. Please, actually don't look at us really. But for me, what was helpful is the Sheikh, who has this website. He took me step by step when nobody else really helped me. I went looking for what is Islam. I wanted to know. I wanted to study. But there were many scholars out there. There were many lecturers out there. But nobody really gave me the time or the attention that one really needs. We need really a lot of help to grow as Muslims, because we don't know, we don't have the knowledge. And Sheikh Ahmed, he takes his job very seriously, and that's why he was always available, and he took me step by step.
But now again, focus about the main message from Muslim.
Yes.
And non-Muslim.
Okay.
Main message.
Main message. Okay. For the non-Muslims, if you're not a Muslim yet, please do think about what it means to be a Muslim, what a Muslim means. Muslim means a human being who surrendered his or her will to the Creator's will. There's nothing wrong with that. This is for everybody. Every human being must be a Muslim. There is no choice. If you're not a Muslim, meaning you are not submitting your will to the Creator, to the Creator's will, so you will be at war against Him. And this is a very dangerous thing for you to do in this life and in the hereafter. You will never be able to be happy, because this is not the way it works. God created you, and he gave you the choice to surrender or not to surrender. And He designed your life in a way to know this truth. So we have to think about it seriously, what life means, what a human, what you are, what really, who I am, and you will know, inshallah, that to be a Muslim is the only way out.
And the success in this life and hereafter.
Yes. And the success in this life and in the hereafter. So for me, I understood that as a human being, to know the truth, which is that God, the Creator, is everything, to know the truth and to die, to live my life like that, and to die like that, to end your life like that, would be a successful life. Yeah, that's why in this life and in the hereafter.
Because life is continuing.
Yes. Because
it's not only death.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Because unfortunately, if it's death is the end, it will be much easier, but we have to face the consequences of our life, which is pretty scary, because that is justice, to have to face your own actions. That's why I love Islam, because it's justice. I saw injustice in the world, but God said in the day of judgment, He will bring everybody to justice, and everything will be taken care of. And I think that's wonderful, good news for everybody.
But somebody might say, look at the Muslim, it's a nonsense. They're killing each other, they're causing mischief all over,
yeah.
They have no manner, you cannot count on them.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Okay. Just because we call ourselves Muslim doesn't really mean that we are fulfilling the criteria of what it means to be a Muslim. And yes, we are failing in that big time. Yes, we are failing. But I'm not saying everybody. Yeah, there are many, many people, Muslims that I met, wonderful people. But the fact that really, as a majority, we look bad. We look bad. May God forgive us. We look bad.
And what's the advice for a Muslim?
What's the advice for a Muslim? We have to, as Muslims, like God says, great Allah says, we have to use our reason and think, what are we doing? And why we're doing what we're doing? And how come we're doing what we're doing? and really to go back to Islam. Yeah, to go back to Islam.
Some Muslim might tell you, I pray, I fast, I make my salah, I have my hijab, I'm a good Muslim. What do you want?
Because to be a Muslim is to give your whole life to the cause of Islam. And it takes a lot, really. We have to give ourselves, we have to sacrifice ourselves to do that. And we have to only think for what Allah wants.
How you reach that? If somebody drowning in his own life,
yeah,
or in her own life, and all they care about is a husband, a wife, such and such, how? What do you advise?
To wake up, because it's not reality. The reality is that you are being tested. We are being tested in this life. It's just a test. It's not where we can have things or accumulate things. And it's not our goal in this life. Our goal is to be representative of Allah. I can say Allah. The representative of Allah. And that's a lot of work. It's full-time work, actually. You cannot take it as a part-time job or a hobby or anything like that. We have to really devote ourselves. And your life will become much easier to devote yourself, because then you are serving one creator. You are serving Allah. But if you have many things going on in your life and your heart is occupied with many things, you are not serving Allah, which is a dangerous thing to do. It's a very dangerous thing to do. So I try to be careful with that. I try to be as devoted as I can. And by saying that, really, Allah knows what our maximum is. So when we say maximum, it's really maximum. And we can always do more, because Allah knows what we can and what we're not doing.
What are you hoping for, and what is your wishes now?
My wishes is that people would, despite all the negative image Islam has that we are offering, to just really look into it and give Islam a chance and consider it seriously. And we can help you with that. You can go to this website. You can contact the person here. We can meet. You can send us your phone number. We can call you. We can have a serious conversation. We are not afraid. And if you're not afraid of the truth, we can meet. And yes, definitely. Yes. For example, like, I watch the Oprah show a lot. Oprah is I love her. She has many, many goodnesses. But I feel sorry for her, because she doesn't really have the answer yet, unfortunately. With all due respect to you, if you know Islam, you would have all the answers, and you can give your audience all the answers. And also, Dr. Robin, too, I love you so much. I'm a big fan of you. But I wish for you to look into Islam as well. Give it a try. I know you're not afraid of the truth. And yes, I hope that. My wish also is that Oprah would have Sheikh Ahmed in the show one day. Why not? You have every topic in your show. You have all kinds of topics, from bra sizes to diet and drugs and everything. We can take care of everything, really. Trust us. We can take care of all the problems without a doubt.
And what is your hope for Japan?
My hope for Japan is that really we Muslims, I hear this a lot very often, that Muslims, when they go to Japan, they see the Japanese people and they love the Japanese people because they have such manners, beautiful manners, and just reliable people, and just human beings with decency in general, really, Japanese people. And we really do have great admiration to you Japanese people. And you can be really our role model. When a Muslim sees a Japanese person, they say, oh, they're much more Muslim than we are. And we feel ashamed of ourselves, really. We feel very ashamed of ourselves. But what is lacking in Japan is the realization of the oneness of the Creator, and that is the truth. And once the people in Japan know the truth, I believe that they can really be such goodness to the world by the will of God, Allah. So my hope is that really Japan, I hear that it's in turmoil now. The young people don't know what they want to do. And of course, because I was there too, yeah, I hear that one of the highest suicide rate is in Japan, the people in Japan. And I don't blame them, because if you do not know your purpose of life, how can you go on? And life is not easy. It's very hard. And if you don't know, it's a lot of up and downs. And if you don't know why you're living, why should I live? Why should I go through all this struggle? Then why should I live? Why not I just end it? I understand what people feel. So the answer to that is to know the truth, to know why you are here. I know everybody has this question, why am I here? And we have that answer. And we have evidence. And it's wonderful that this is the truth. The truth is really here. And yes.
By this way, your advice to people, if you want security, if you want happiness,
Yes, if they want to have everything they're looking for, happiness, comfort, security, hope, and love, and really not feeling unworthy, the feeling of unworthiness, because you are worthy. Allah created you for a reason, and you're reason of living is to fulfill that purpose. And if you fulfill your purpose of being, then you have accomplished, you have had a successful life. And everybody is created differently in different levels. And we just have to do the best we can, which is really not too hard to do. Allah doesn't ask us too much. He asks us the really not, we can do it. It's not a lot, really. For example, just be nice, you know?
Honest, clean.
Yeah, you Japanese people are already all that. So it's going to be so easy for you guys compared to us Muslims. Yeah.
Anything else?
Okay. May Allah accept from us, Muslims, forgive us, and guide us, and spread His light. We are in such need of Your light, because we are in darkness. And we know that You care for us, and that You are waiting for us to take action, to be good for You. And inshallah, may Allah accept us. May Allah open for us and put light in what we do.
And to help mankind.
And to help mankind.
And show them the road.
And show them the road.
And light.
And light.
And wisdom.
And wisdom.
And happiness.
And happiness.
And most of all.
And most of all.
The success of this life and hereafter.
The success of the this life and the hereafter.
Only by believing in Him.
Only by believing in Him.
Trusting Him.
Trust in Him.
Rely on Him.
Rely on Him.
May Allah guide us all.
Guide us all.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.